everybody, and welcome to That Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters. I'm your host, Bill Yankovy, and what a week we have here. It is our year-end award show. Going to be giving out awards in all of our categories here that were voted upon and nominated by you, our fans, on our Facebook group. Also going to be previewing Saturday's Hard to Kill pay-per-view with some interesting news and a lot more going on in the world of professional wrestling. Now, before we get into it, we're going to start off with a couple of awards to give out. And our first award that we're going to give out is the most underrated wrestler. Most underrated wrestler. Of course, all these wrestlers were nominated by our fans on our Facebook group. The nominees for the most underrated wrestler are Dominic Mysterio, Ricochet, Darby Allin, Pineapple Pete, Orange Cassidy, Eddie Kingston, and Shelton Benjamin. And that wrestling award for the most underrated wrestler goes to, have to tear up the envelope, Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy, named the most underrated wrestler of the year. Congratulations to Orange. I'm sure somebody will send you some kind of trophy thingy-ma-bop. So now we go from the most underrated to the most overrated wrestler of the year. Our nominees are Keith Lee, Baron Corbin, The Miz, Roman Reigns, and Bray Wyatt. Notice there's a theme there, all WWE guys. And that wrestling award for the most overrated wrestler goes to, oh, this was kind of a runaway, Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt wins for the most overrated wrestler. And let's do one more award to start off, because we got a lot more to go through during this show. The feud of the year. The feud of the year. The nominees are Bayley versus Sasha Banks, John Moxley versus Eddie Kingston, Best Friends versus Inner Circle, Edge versus Randy Orton, Cody versus MJF, and John Moxley versus Chris Jericho. And that wrestling award for the feud of the year goes to Bayley versus Sasha Banks. Bayley versus Sasha Banks named the feud of the year. Come back a little later on with some more awards to give out. Well, originally the show this week was going to start with talking about the big WWE hit with COVID, but with all due respect to that, and I will get to that in a moment, there has been a little bit of developing news taking place during this afternoon as of this recording, and it concerns WrestleMania 37. WrestleMania 37 is, as of right now, scheduled to take place on March the 28th. However, there have been reports that came out today that WrestleMania 37 will be pushed back. And the tentative date, as of right now, is Sunday, April 11th. Now, this is according to several reports that WrestleMania 37 will be on Sunday, April 11th, 2 weeks later than originally planned, because traditionally, WrestleMania is normally held close, like a little close to Easter time, usually Palm Sunday, so the week before Easter. And then every once in a while, there is that occasion where it's like the week after WrestleMania, and the date is not really that far back. But this is a very interesting situation, and I'm going to keep reading this article here, or this report, that Fightful first reported that the company's biggest event of the year, which was originally set for March 28th, but that international documents now list the April date. Post Wrestling later confirmed that report. WWE has yet to respond on an inquiry about the change. While yet to be formally announced, the show was being planned for Tampa, Florida's Raymond James Stadium as recently as October. Last year's WrestleMania was slated for that location, but was moved to the Performance Center over two nights due to the pandemic. The original host for this year's WrestleMania, Los Angeles, California's SoFi Stadium, would be shelved for the time being. It is also being reported in a related story from PW Insider that this year's Elimination Chamber event will be held on Sunday, February 21st, a week earlier than planned. Paired with the WrestleMania change, that would seem to point to WWE wanting to return to one domestic event per month for the time being, given that travel to Saudi Arabia for those super shows is off the table right now. Well, let's talk about this. This would be an unprecedented move. As long as I've been a fan, I have never seen or heard that a WrestleMania be pushed back date-wise. I've never heard of this. And this would be a first, I do believe, if that happens to be the case. April 11th would be, date-wise, the latest a WrestleMania has ever taken place. Right now, April the 8th is the latest a WrestleMania has ever taken place. So if it goes to April 11th, that will be the, I don't want to call it a record, but I want to say that that would be the benchmark for how late you could do a WrestleMania. If they had stuck to the original date, if they do stick to the original date, which is March 28th, they would have, from the night of the Royal Rumble till WrestleMania, 8 weeks to get everything set up. If they do the extra 2 weeks and they do the traditional 10 weeks till WrestleMania, maybe WWE is in a good position. I really don't know on how this is going to go. Honestly, if that's the key word, if this move happens, I really don't see this as a bad thing. I actually kind of think of it as a positive move for WWE more than a negative move. So be interesting to see. Keep our eye on it over the next several weeks, especially with the Royal Rumble 2 weeks away. So it's going to be interesting now that we know that news, the possibility that WrestleMania gets moved back. Very interesting. Well, COVID-19 obviously has hit everyone and everything, and pro wrestling is no exception. It has definitely been hit during this time. And this week was not a good week in news about the pandemic. Nick Jackson confirmed that he had tested positive for COVID back in September and was off TV for quite a while. Chris Jericho also stated that he had tested positive for COVID back in September as well, although Jericho's might not have been as bad as other wrestlers have had it. Of course, we remember Lance Archer had tested positive for COVID a while back. But WWE this week had to do something they have not done, and that is report a wrestler test positive for COVID, and it was, or is, I should say, the current WWE champion, Drew McIntyre. He tested positive on January the 10th. He was scheduled to wrestle on Raw this past Monday night against Randy Orton. Obviously, that match did not happen. Drew is currently under quarantine and really threw a monkey wrench into Raw this past Monday night, although to be perfectly honest, I don't know if even Drew could have saved that Raw Monday night, but I think this is a big blow for the fact that WWE, after all this time, and they never said, like, if you pay very close attention, they never said COVID the entire time from March until now. And then they put it up on WWE.com, and then Drew does say it on Raw Monday night. And, you know, how this, what this particular version of COVID is, we don't know right now. Because, you know, if it's not as bad as, you know, some people get, you know, Drew is going to be okay and will more than likely be ready for the Royal Rumble in 2 weeks, where as of right now, he is scheduled to face Goldberg for the WWE title. However, if things, you know, God help us, if things get worse, then there's a good possibility that Drew and Goldberg gets canceled. Like, that match does not happen at the Royal Rumble. If you are looking for a positive side to this story, and it's really hard to find a positive, it is the fact that this announcement happened weeks before the Royal Rumble event, you know, took place. Because if Drew had come, like if WWE came out this Monday and had said, oh, Drew has tested positive for COVID, guess what? Drew and Goldberg does not happen at the Royal Rumble. Where, I mean, if you're WWE, you're still not out of the woods, because it really depends on how Drew's body reacts to this. Is it going to heal? You know, is it going to heal? Is he going to get better? You know, that's not up to anyone but the body. You know, and if the body takes care of itself, there's a possibility that Drew, you know, goes to the Royal Rumble. But I think right now that's the last thing any of us should think about. And we should be just thankful. Thank our lucky stars that they caught this before, you know, it got worse. And, you know, nobody else catches it. And the thing is, and I want to point this out real quick. Drew, from what I have heard, Drew was not, did not have COVID when they had Legends Night over a week ago. So it was somewhere after Legends Night that in between, you know, say like from Tuesday on, maybe even Wednesday on, that he had tested positive, or had it, and then they found out Sunday that he tested positive. So, but hopefully Drew will get better. I just want him to be better, be healthy, because he was actually a bright spot last year in professional wrestling, and we hope he gets better. I know I hope he gets better. The wrestling fans sure hope he gets better, and just hope and pray for the best that Drew is all right. But COVID really did play an effect on Raw Monday night, because it was a very thin roster. There were people that worked double matches on Raw Monday night. The report is four wrestlers have COVID right now. Besides Drew, there's three others. We have no idea who the other three are, and we might never know who the other three are. So it'll be interesting to see who it is that may have tested positive, may not have. So, you know, if you want to do your conspiracy theories, try to pinpoint everything, go right ahead, but I'm not going to really do that. I just will wait to hear if anything does happen, if they have anything. So just remain and wait and see, I guess, is the way to put it. All right, so normally, you know, in the news, you get these funny headlines, and some of them kind of don't make sense, but they do make you laugh. And this headline from ringsidenews.com this week was absolutely hilarious. I posted it on our Facebook group, and if you haven't seen it, be ready. I hope you're not drinking anything, you know, going to do a spit take. Somebody's going to do a spit take, maybe. So, they did a thing on Raw Monday night with Lacey Evans and Charlotte and Ric Flair, by God. Then we got this headline from ringsidenews.com. This is a real headline I'm about to read. I'm just going to read the headline. Lacey Evans feeling the Ric Flair drip after WWE Raw. God. Ew. That's disgusting. Whoever wrote the headline should either be fired or get a promotion. Oh my God. Oh, that's sick. Lacey Evans feeling the Ric Flair drip after Raw. Woo! Oh, God, that's awful. That is awful. But I just wanted to have a little bit of fun there. You know, I had some serious topics here just discussed, and you know, we need to have a little laugh every once in a while. Well, let's get back to more awards, and our next category is the They Should Be in the WWE Hall of Fame Award. And for those of you that are new, I'll give you the short version of it. These are the individuals who we feel should be in the WWE Hall of Fame, or should have been in the WWE Hall of Fame by now, but are not. And, you know, it's always this list of, you know, year after year of like, oh, this person should be in, why isn't this person in? And I feel like since we've done this award, this particular award, we've gotten a pretty good track record, because some of the people that have won this award or have come close to this award have eventually gotten in. So, with that said, here are the nominees for the They Should Be in the WWE Hall of Fame Award. The nominees are Owen Hart, Crash Holly, Jim Cornette, Demolition, Cyndi Lauper, RoboCop, Ed, I'm going to get you when I see you, Dynamite Kid, and Ken Patera. And that wrestling award for the They Should Be in the WWE Hall of Fame Award goes to... Oh, this is a really close race. But the winner, Demolition, Axe and Smash, win this year's award. I do want to mention that Axe of Demolition, a.k.a. Bill Eady. He and his wife tested positive for COVID, and we're all thinking of you. We hope you and your wife and your grandson, their grandson has COVID as well. Hope you guys get through this COVID and become healthy again. Next category is the Hell Has Frozen Over Award. This is for the most shocking moment in wrestling. The nominees are Drew McIntyre eliminating Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble, Sting debuting in AEW, wrestling going on during the pandemic, and Edge's return. And that wrestling award for the Hell Has Frozen Over Award goes to... Wow, this is a really close one. Sting debuts in AEW. That was, I think, the heavy favorite going in, and it actually ended up being a really close vote, but I think the right moment won. Okay, one more category, then we're going to go into more news. And this category is Best Commentator. The Best Commentator. The nominees are Corey Graves, Tony Schiavone, Excalibur, Jim Ross, and Samoa Joe. And that wrestling award for the best commentator goes to Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone wins this award, long overdue for Tony Schiavone, as Chris Jericho calls him, for winning that award. All right, we'll get back to the awards a little later on. There is more wrestling news to discuss. And one of the news pieces involves tomorrow night's Hard to Kill pay-per-view. Originally, the main event of tomorrow night's show was a six-man tag team match where Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers were to face Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. However, it was reported today that due to unavoidable circumstances, Alex Shelley would be unable to travel to Nashville for this pay-per-view. Impact Wrestling Executive Vice President Scott D'Amore said, and I quote, "When we got the news from Alex, there was no question what we needed to do. Extraordinary circumstances call for extraordinary measures. I personally contacted Moose, and he accepted the match immediately. I know Rich Swann in particular has his issues with Moose, but this is time to put personal issues and egos aside," unquote. So, the main event of tomorrow night's Hard to Kill pay-per-view is still a six-man tag team match, where it is now the team of Rich Swann, Chris Sabin, and Moose against Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. A little later on this program, I will be making my predictions to all the matches that are going to take place this Saturday at Hard to Kill. This was a good week for former Impact wrestlers, the Rascals, or should I say MSK, as this week the team formerly known as Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz made their debut on NXT in the first round of the 2021 Dusty Cup Classic. They now go by the names of Nash Carter and Wes Lee. And MSK has advanced into the second round of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Tournament. So very good for the former Rascals, who were an Impact for a while, and they did pretty good. Gotta admit, they did a pretty good job this week. Obviously, WWE's given them a platform, so we'll have to see what comes out of that in the very near future. All right, AEW, we all know with COVID, a lot of the events that they had planned last year got canceled. I mean, everywhere. If you had tickets for the Newark, New Jersey show at the Prudential Center, which was scheduled a while back to February the 24th, it has been rescheduled again. We have a new date. It is September the 15th. AEW released a statement today with this. The AEW Dynamite show at Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey on February 24th has been rescheduled for Wednesday, September 15th, 2021. Fans who have already purchased tickets to the show at Prudential Center will have their original tickets valid for admission to the event on September 15th or can receive a refund within the next 30 days until February 14th, 2021 via the point of purchase. As illustrated in our mission statement, the safety and well-being of our fans and talent is always our top priority. AEW sends heartfelt thanks around the world to healthcare and other frontline workers who are answering the call to protect and serve their communities. What else is there to say that hasn't been said? This is the right thing to obviously do. There's nothing else that you can really do in this situation except, you know, reschedule. And then if everything works out and we're back to quote-unquote normal, then we will be back to normal. If we aren't, then we will just have to wait and see what will happen. All right, so got some very interesting news here, and this is Hall of Fame news again. This is the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame in Wichita, Texas. Last night, they announced their class of 2021, and this is going to be pretty interesting because this will coincide with the class of 2020. So this is going to be one big celebration that is going to take place. Before I announce the inductees, the induction weekend is currently scheduled for May 13th, 14th, and 15th in downtown Wichita Falls, Texas. But they are still looking towards a resolution towards an event to keep everyone safe in this crazy time. So it is in different divisions, and let's go through them. The class of 2021 for the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. In the Pioneer Division, the inductees this year are Mad Mountain Dean and Paul Bowser. In the TV Era division, this year's inductees are Tiger Conway Sr. and Jose Lothario. In the Modern Era division, this year's inductees are Tony Atlas and Wildfire Tommy Rich. For the women, this year's inductees are Judy Martin and Juanita Kaufman. For international, this year's inductee is Leo Burke. For the executive division, this year's inductee, Don Owen. In the tag team division, this year's inductees are the Rock and Roll Express, Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton. The territory era, this year's inductee is Skandar Akbar. And in the referee division, this year's inductee is Ronnie West. That is the class for 2021. They're going to be joining the class of 2020, which is a pretty big group. I'll just remind everyone the class of 2020. George Zaharis, Bobby Managoff, King Curtis Ikea, Killer Carl Cox, Magnum TA, Jake the Snake Roberts, Killer Tim Brooks, The Great Kabuki, Dory Funk Sr., Luna Vachon, Debbie Combs, and the Sheep Herders are all going in from 2020. They're going to go in with the 2021 group this year. So congratulations to all the men and women inducted into the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. Well, got some more awards to give out here, so let's get to it. And our next category is the Best Major Wrestling Show of the Year. Best Major Wrestling Show of the Year. And your nominees are the Royal Rumble, Wrestle Kingdom Night 1, AEW Double or Nothing 2020, AEW Revolution 2020, and Impact Slammiversary 2020. And that wrestling award for the Best Major Wrestling Show of the Year goes to... I'd have to call this a little bit of an upset. The Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble wins Best Major Wrestling Show of the Year. Like I said, I'd have to call it a bit of an upset. Next category, Best Weekly TV Show. And your nominees are SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, NXT, and Ring of Honor Wrestling. And that wrestling award for the Best Weekly TV Show goes to, no surprise, AEW Dynamite. AEW Dynamite, the winner. And gonna do one more category, Best Wrestling Promotion. The nominees are WWE, New Japan Pro Wrestling, AEW, NXT, and Ring of Honor. And that wrestling award for the Best Wrestling Promotion goes to, again, no surprise, AEW. AEW wins that award. I will come back a little later on for our final four awards, the big four of our awards, the Match of the Year, Tag Team of the Year, Woman of the Year, and the Wrestler of the Year. Well, there's no better time than the present, I think, to take a look at, well, actually, hold on, I'm going to hold that, because I do want to mention real quick, Season 3 of Dark Side of the Ring, they have officially announced what the Season 3 premiere episode is going to be. And this year, it will be the career and passing of Brian Pillman will be the Season 3 premiere of Dark Side of the Ring. Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to be on that show. It's going to be the first time he is on Dark Side of the Ring. Dave Meltzer will be on there. And I'm sure a lot of other people, a lot of other wrestling personalities will be there. It's going to be 14 episodes this year, which is going to be bigger than last year. I think last year was like 8. I want to say it was 8. Some of the episodes that we will get, besides the Brian Pillman episode, Dynamite Kid, Grizzly Smith, XPW, and the WCW New Japan show in North Korea are going to be some of the episodes for season 3 of Dark Side of the Ring. Now we could talk about Hard to Kill, which is this Saturday night. Going to go through every match and going to give you predictions as to who will win those matches. Going to start off with our kickoff match, as it will be Josh Alexander against Brian Myers. This is a more unique match. Interesting match. I'm going to say Josh Alexander will win this match. Then we have an intergender tag team match, as Tennille Dashwood and Caleb, with a K, faces the reunited Rosemary and Crazy Steve. Should be an interesting match. I'm going to go, because they just got back together, with Rosemary and Crazy Steve. Then, this next match, this is going to be an interesting affair. Ethan Page will take on the Karate Man. Do I have to really pick a winner? Because I think the fans are going to be the winners of this match. But if I am forced to pick, I will pick the Karate Man to beat Ethan Page. Six-man tag team match will be fought under old school rules. Eric Young, Cody Deaner, and Joe Doring against Rhino, Tommy Dreamer, and Cousin Jake. Gonna go with Eric Young, Deaner, and Joe Doring for the win on that six-man fight, because that is what it is a fight. The finals of the Knockouts Tag Team Title Tournament is this Saturday. We will crown new Knockouts Tag Team Champions. The question is, who will be the champions? Will it be Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz, or will it be Havoc and Nevaeh? I'm going to say this. From the moment that they announced the titles were going to be brought back and they had the idea of the tournament and everything, I think the only team that it would fit to have win the tag titles would be Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz. So I'm going to go Hogan and Steelz winning the Knockouts Tag Team titles. Speaking of the Knockouts title is on the line, as Deonna Purrazzo will defend against Taya Valkyrie. This is a more interesting match. Could be a fun little match, actually. But I'm going to say Deonna Purrazzo retains the Knockouts title. A three-way match for the X Division title has the new champion, Manic, defending against Chris Bay and Rohit Raju. Manic just won the belt like a month or two ago, so I'm going to go with Manic to retain the X Division title. This next match is not going to be for the weak at heart. It is Barbed Wire Massacre, as Eddie Edwards will face Sami Callihan. Basically, the ropes are going to be taken off. The whole ring is going to be covered in barbed wire. I'm going to say, you know what, just to do a surprise, I'm going to say Sami Callihan wins this match. How about that? I think Sammy's going to beat Eddie Edwards. And your main event for Hard to Kill, the six-man tag team match, Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers against the unusual pairing of Rich Swann, Chris Sabin, and Moose. Even if they had Alex Shelley on there, I'm still going with the original pick that I had in my mind. It's going to be Omega and the Good Brothers winning that one. One other thing to point out, and I thought this was very interesting because this news came out during the week, is there are going to be new commentators starting tomorrow night for Hard to Kill. Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown are going to be the new commentators for Impact. Madison Rain has decided to move away from professional wrestling and go pursue a college degree, which is good for anybody, so good luck to Madison Rain. And Josh Matthews has gotten a promotion, and he's no longer going to be on the air. So we'll see how the pairing of Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown work out tomorrow night at Hard to Kill. All right. Now it's time for the final four awards, the big four, as I call them. And going to start off with my personal favorite award, Match of the Year. The Match of the Year. The nominees for the Match of the Year are Randy Orton versus Edge from WrestleMania, Adam Page and Kenny Omega versus the Young Bucks from Revolution, Roman Reigns versus Kevin... Wait a minute, did I say that right? Adam Page and Kenny Omega versus the Young Bucks from Revolution. Okay. Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens from TLC. Chris Jericho versus Orange Cassidy, the Mimosa Mayhem match from All Out. Jon Moxley versus Kenny Omega from Dynamite. Kazuchika Okada versus Kota Ibushi from Wrestle Kingdom Night 1. Adam Cole versus Tommaso Ciampa from NXT TakeOver Portland. And Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre from the Survivor Series. And that wrestling award for the Match of the Year, voted by you, the fans, goes to... Again, no surprise. Kenny Omega and Adam Page versus the Young Bucks from AEW Revolution. Next category, Tag Team of the Year. The nominees for the Tag Team of the Year are... The Street Profits, Kenny Omega and Adam Page, Santana and Ortiz, The Young Bucks, and Best Friends. And that wrestling award for the Tag Team of the Year goes to The Young Bucks. Young Bucks, Tag Team of the Year. This was a very close race. The Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Adam Page were the only two teams that got any votes. So that tells you how close it really was. Next category, Woman of the Year. The Woman of the Year. The nominees are Sasha Banks, Io Shirai, Asuka, Britt Baker, and Hikaru Shida. And that wrestling award for the Woman of the Year goes to... Oh, we have a tie. The winners are Asuka and Hikaru Shida. Asuka and Hikaru Shida both named Woman of the Year. And our final category... Wrestler of the Year. The Wrestler of the Year. The nominees for Wrestler of the Year are Drew McIntyre, Chris Jericho, Jon Moxley, MJF, and Kenny Omega. And that wrestling award for the Wrestler of the Year goes to... This is a very close one. This was one vote separating the winner from second and third. Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley, the Wrestler of the Year, voted upon by our fans. So congratulations to all the winners for this year's That Wrestling Award show. Well, you know what? Made it to the end of... another episode, so let's wrap things up for this week. If you guys have any questions or comments, send an email, wrestlingman@thatwrestlingshow.com. If you do send your email, it will be read on this show. Follow the show on Twitter at WrestlingShow11. Follow the show on Instagram at That Wrestling Show. Join our Facebook group. It is That Wrestling Show Fan Group. Check. God, there's so much social media stuff here. Join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/That Wrestling Show for some exclusive content there. All right, other podcasts you guys should check out. Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast with Joe Morata and Michael Quinn. This week on the show, they discuss what went wrong with the WWF Light Heavyweight Division. Very interesting question. Plus, week 4 of the Royal Rankings of Best Feuds, and a review of AWF Warriors of Wrestling from July 1st, 1995. That is this week on our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Also, check out Greetings from Allentown with Peter Winston as he watches one episode of professional wrestling each week in his own unique perspective. This week, he reviews an episode of WWF Superstars from December 26th, 1987. This is the episode where the Islanders dognap Matilda. Also, check out Juice Pro Wrestling, where this week they sit down and interview Kyle Hessler from Palais Pro Wrestling, as he's there to discuss the Brawl at the Brew event that is going to take, or that did take place on Fight TV, along with his MMA background, booking, or his journey into professional wrestling, and much more. That is this week on Juice Pro Wrestling. And check out Two Fans Review Wrestling Podcast, where this week they go back in time, watch Raw, Nitro, ECW Superstars, Saturday Night, and much more. That is this week on Two Fans Review Wrestling Podcast. If you're looking for non-wrestling related podcasts, check out the Best Pick Movie Podcast with Tom, John, and Jess, where they discuss and review each and every Academy Award winning Best Picture in no particular order. They are joined this week by Helen O'Hara as they discuss the Best Picture winner of 1942, Mrs. Miniver. That is this week on the Best Pick Movie Podcast. Also, check out Last Stop Penn Station with Ian Riccaboni and Kerry Silken as we go into the life of Kerry Silken. This week, they do a special tribute to Kerry's beloved cat, Lamb Chop. That is this week on Last Stop Penn Station. Also, check out The Castle Vault, a chronological deep dive of Disney animated films powered by Disney+. This week, it is a recap of the last 59 episodes they have watched. That is this week on The Castle Vault. Check out Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast, where this week they interview keyboardist Pat Reagan, who not only is he a keyboardist, but he's also a producer, an engineer, and a mixer who toured with Weird Al Yankovic and recorded on 3 of his early albums. His first 3 albums, the self-titled debut album In 3D and Dare to Be Stupid. That is this week on Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast. And don't forget to check out Sharks Pond, a South Park podcast, where I discuss and review each and every South Park episode. This week, I reviewed the Season 11 episode, Cartman Sucks. That is this week on Sharks Pond, a South Park podcast. And I almost forgot to plug this, but I'm going to do it anyway. A brand new episode of Coliseum Corner is now up, where I watch, discuss, review Coliseum videos. This new episode is the best of the WWF Volume 4. That is now up on Coliseum Corner. Next week, going to review Hard to Kill, along with other wrestling news going on. Everybody have a good weekend, be safe, and come back next week for another episode of That Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters. And as always, wrestle on.